welcome to Olives and Pimentos podcast. I'm your host, Sean, that everyone fucking knows, and I'm speaking with the Maysides.
Hey, buddy, it's Matt from the Maysides.
Hey, what's going on? This is G.I.
G.I. and Matt, what's going down, guys? How's the Tuesday morning treating you?
You know, man, I feel like I got more Monday blues today than I did on Monday. So, I mean, hey, it is what it is. But I got a coffee beside me, and you know what? I think we're gonna be rock and rolling. I think it's gonna be a good day.
Yeah, I get that vibe. It feels like a Monday morning for me too, 110%.
Right.
So let's get it going. How did the Maysides start?
Yeah, dude. I was playing a band called All for Nothing for many years with some of my really good buddies. And we played, I mean, this goes way back when we were in high school and we went out of high school, kept playing in All for Nothing, into university or college or what have you. Finished that up and we're still playing. And we wanted to, you know, it was kind of at a point of a few people's lives where people are determining, like, which way do we go, you know? Are we gonna keep pushing and grinding in this capacity, or are we gonna, you know, find a different job or invest a lot of time and energy into a career, etc.? And you know, pretty much in that process, I wanted to keep rocking and keep pushing and playing music, really, really committed to it. So you know, from there, essentially that band, you know, kind of dissolved at whatever capacity it was at that point in time. And the Maysides was formed. You know, I wanted to keep going. I had a lot of songs that actually originally were going to be released under All for Nothing. But you know, I got new members in, formed a new band, the Maysides. And since then, you know, I got my drummer, Mike Lamb, guitarist, Kenny Holt. And back then I had another bass player, but Kellen Bulger, but we parted ways a while back. And I think probably now, G.I., I don't know, 5 years maybe are we going on more? I don't know.
Shit. Yeah, 5 or 6. It's
yeah, time flies when you're having fun, man, I guess.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, as we know it right now, that's the lineup. We also have another buddy, Ryan. He comes in and he plays some shows. He'll hop on bass or guitar when we need another guy. So he's kind of like a pseudo fifth member of Maysides in the last few years. But yeah, it's been a fucking great ride, man. We've done a lot of great things, and we're kind of just starting to push even harder now because we got new music coming out, full length coming out soon. So that's reinvigorating our energy, I think.
When's the full length come out?
Don't have a definitive date, but we're looking at probably a later summer, possibly early fall. I mean, we really want to hit the summer mark on it, but we'll just GI, you gotta pull your socks up and get all those mixes done.
Terrible.
It's funny because we've sat with a lot of these songs for quite a few years because, you know, and you know, we won't get into it, but obviously, you know, the world was closed for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of set us back a little bit.
I think it set a lot of people back.
Yeah, right? You know, so it was funny because 2020 actually was going to be, we had most of these songs done and we were going to do an EP, you know, a 6-song EP, and we were pretty much in, you know, almost a finished state, and we were going to push. And that was going to be the year. I think there's actually, it's funny, I was going through my Insta the other day, and I was like, there was a video, it's like me like doing an update video. I'm like, 2020, it's going to be the year, it's Maysides, man, we got a new album, finally, I know you guys have been waiting, blah, blah, blah. And then, clearly, that wasn't the year. it's going to be 2024 now, you know? But it's funny. And life, you know, we've got lives too, so it's... all of us have different priorities, where it seems like Murphy's Law, sometimes one member or two members at a certain point in time are kind of, you know, focused on something else and they're not kind of all on the same page. But I think it's fun because right now I think we are. So it's literally, I think this is going to be a great year, a great release. We're already starting to play a lot of great shows, having a good time.
Yeah, you guys got a lot of listeners on Spotify too, huh?
Yeah. No, we love that, man. We love Spotify for that. You know, I think everybody always talks about not getting good return on streams for financial, you know, royalties or whatever off Spotify, which is very true. I mean, I think there's probably a $25 check that comes in the account every now and then, but other than that, we think Spotify is really rad. We really like the editorial playlists. We really love, you know, how people can share things, and it's kind of a community, and we've had a lot of good traction, you know, from some of our newest singles where we were added to, you know, a new punk playlist that was an editorial playlist on Spotify, and that like brought in so many streams, and so cool and fun to see that, because that was unsolicited, you know, like I pitched the song, but I didn't know anybody or anything, but they just saw it, they liked it, and they you know, they put it on this playlist alongside with like Offspring and, you know, American Rejects and Rancid and all these other bands. We're just like sandwiched in between. It was like, that was super flattering for us to see that, you know, people were listening to music and seeing us at that, you know, caliber, I guess, or shouldn't even stand beside those types of bands, right? So so yeah, Spotify is really cool for that. We really like how we can get a good reach.
Yeah, and even what do you call it? You guys have a like a pop punk sort of vibe, if you will.
Yeah, man, totally. And it's funny. It's like we're always like jumping between pop punk, punk rock, you know, punk, you know, all of these labels, right? But it is poppy. It is poppy and it's punk, like straight up. Like we've got both vibes going on, and that's always kind of what we're trying to achieve. Like when we're doing the songs, is we want it to have a hook. We want people to be bouncing along and it to be a little earworm, but we also want it to have, you know, those true like kind of organic qualities, which is punk rock to us. It's like organic and real,
so
and, you know, authentic, you know.
Yeah, so what got you guys into playing music? Like, what was the first bands you guys listened to?
Well, since I talk so much there, G, I'll let you talk and then I'll throw a few in too.
Yeah, like for me growing up, I think the big one I would listen to is Switchfoot, which is a rock band like out from San Diego, and their big album Beautiful Letdown, I think just turned 20 a couple years ago, which is wild to think that like now music that we listened to in the 2000s is as old as the music was from the 80s when we listened in the 2000s.
Like, isn't that wild? That's just so wild. It's straight up oldies, like for us or for the new kids. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. So like, obviously, like, you know, the classics like Blink and MXPX were big for me too. Anne Berlin, I think Cities by Anne Berlin was the first album that I was like, I can't skip a single song on this. So there was, you know, that whole kind of Tooth and Nail label and all their affiliates with like Solid State Records and stuff like that. That's where I like grew up in. So
yeah, like bands like MXPX and like you said, MXPX and like Slick Shoes and stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. Flatiron Frenzy, all those kind of guys. So it was a bit of a hodgepodge of you know, punk rock and then some heavier stuff, but you know, it's all good stuff, and I think it definitely, you know, really shapes your style as, you know, when you're in those sort of formative years. Like, I remember when I first heard Angels and Airwaves, it was like, oh my word, I mean,
yeah.
So then, like, when I would play, all my guitar stuff was just Angels and Airwaves, just tons of delay, tons of reverb.
Yeah,
you know,
that's rad. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's cool because we got a fun mix of you know, inspirations and stuff. Yeah, G.I. obviously is into the punk rock realm. He also has, you know, those kind of rock roots and different things too. Even like sometimes is into some country gigs and stuff like that. That's like a total kind of a side thing for him too, which is really cool. And then for me, I mean, and then Mike Lamb, our drummer, he was really punk rock too. He likes classic rock too, like Kiss and stuff like that, which how can you deny this show's, you know, the stage presence of Kiss, right?
Yeah.
For me, it was fun. You know, I, growing up, like super young, it was you know, exposure from my dad from like straight up Beatles and Beach Boys and stuff like that, which was really cool. And then when I was really young, Weird Al, loved Weird Al as a kid, but still do. Fantastic. Go down a Weird Al binge. Good times, let me tell you.
Oh yeah.
But Blink and the punk rock vibes. I always say, you know, Tony Hawk Pro Skater was like my jam. Like that, it was, you know, obviously Blink wasn't on there, but it is an inspiration. You'll hear it. Green Day and, you know, all Sum 41, all of the pop punk bands, you know, played a role. But then, you know, there was bands like Goldfinger and Pennywise and Bad Religion, you know, giving a little bit of a darker, you know, punk rock vibe, which I always really liked. And from there, bands like Gob too, you know, Canadian bands, like we actually got to play with Gob, which was fantastic. Played a little circuit with them, and that was really surreal to be like legitimately listening to World According to Gob and Put in Mouth, you know, and those albums like on repeat as a kid, and then suddenly, you know, your band is actually on a bill with them. That was like fucking.
That's fucking awesome. That's fucking crazy.
Mind blowing, dude. Mind blowing. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, another one I always say is Biff Naked we got to play with, and I always just loved that, because it was like Biff when I was younger. I love No Doubt. I love obviously Gwen was like hot, you know, if lead strong chick of a punk band there. And then there was Biff Naked off to the side around the same time. I was like, what is this? It was so curious to me. Like it was kind of like a bit outside of my ballpark. It was like, okay, like this like super badass tattooed, you know, chick or whatever. And this kind of like bit more grungy, rocky, like, you know, punk thing. And I was just like intrigued. I'm like, I'm not familiar, but like, I think I like it, you know? And to play with alongside her was flattering as hell. And she really loved her music, and she had a, you know, just great time talking with her, and she just like was really propped in us and sharing some of her stuff out and everything. So I mean, experiences like that, yet again, it makes you want to keep grinding, because it is a fucking grind, man. Like honestly, it's so many times you're just like, fuck, man, this is like, what is the juice worth the squeeze? Like that's I definitely know, like, musicians everywhere are always kind of struggling with that. I mean, I've always ended up on top where I've said yes. You know, hell's yeah, I'm grinding still. I don't care if it's hard. I gotta still create music. I gotta still play. I gotta still put it out, right? But as you get older and you know, it's not like what you may have hoped for when it's like you made it. You know, like, you know, oh, that you got signed and now you're playing Warped Tour. It's like, it's not like that, you know. You know, Sum 41 and some of those guys, they were 17, 18 or whatever, getting signed and like send around the world on world tours. It's not that anymore for us, but we're still playing, still getting success, still getting mentions, still getting features, still getting listeners, and still having people enjoy the music. So, you know, we just keep going because like we love it. You know, it's for the passion of the music, you know, like it really is, because it has to be, because if it's not, then you'd be real fucking disappointed. I don't know. I kind of went on a tangent there, but it's true. It's when you're like a medium band where you don't necessarily make, you know, can't necessarily make a living off of music specifically. It's like you have to really have a passion for it. And you have to really love it, because you're gonna get those wicked features. You can get those big, or maybe some other bands won't. But we've got our big, you know, festival shows. We've got our big moments headlining or supporting main acts like Biff and Gob, and Flatliners and Andrew WK. Yeah, exactly. Steel Panther even, like what a ridiculous pairing that is. But, you know, we've got all these like wicked things, but it's still not like you're not touring the world and like on a tour bus and people are, you know, handing bills to you like every night. Like that's not how it goes. Like it's grind. But we love it.
So do you guys have any plans to tour this summer and whatnot?
Oh yeah, well, we got a bunch of shows lined up, and I think it's gonna fill up a little bit more than what we already got on the docket. But we have a few like pillars kind of just started there, and we've got some other stuff in the works behind the scenes. But, you know, we just started off, I guess, just past February 17th, we had kind of a closed private show that we played at St. Catharines and Warehouse. So that was kind of nice just to get, you know, get ready for the year and all assemble and play, you know, again with a band called Gravely, which was actually really, really solid band. We liked them a lot.
They were super stellar. It's kind of like if ZZ Top had started today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're just like that three-piece with a super solid rhythm section and just a blazing guitarist that just, yeah, killer.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was like, obviously a little different than us, but the same enough that it was just super fun and awesome. And yeah, the stage presence was fun too. We all had a great time with the guys in the green room. And yeah, it's always fun making those connections and just enjoying it. It's so cool. And then, so our next show coming up, actually, fuck, looking at my watch, it's like very soon, but March 22nd, we're playing at the Casbah in Hamilton, which is actually super rad because I haven't played there for years, but that's, you know, an old stopping ground of mine going way back, and it's a great little venue. And lots of bigger, great touring bands have come through to the Casbah too. So it's known. As kind of the scene spot. Anyways, we're playing with Dave New World, which is actually a band that we used to play with, Rifkin. There's a lot of members from that band. Awesome, just punk rock vibes, straight up. It's got punk pop, punk rock vibes all night at this show. Another band called Set to Go, and another band called Lost Astronaut. So all of those bands, actually, interestingly, are kind of, I don't know if I'd say super groups, but you know, they're kind of cumulatively from some other bands, and they're all relatively new in the scene, but we're going to have fun with them. We kind of have some old connections with the members of some of the bands, and we're going to kind of rekindle, have some beers and have a great night. It's going to be a good show.
Well, who doesn't like beers and punk rock, right?
Right. Beers and punk rock. I mean, it's the best thing we can ask for.
I'm pretty sure I saw Death Cemetery in Belvedere there like 3 years ago.
Yeah, probably. I bet you did. Yeah, they've had a lot of bands through. I'm happy that they're still operating too, because yeah, you know how it is with them.
Because it's a pretty small room too, isn't it?
Say again?
It's a pretty small room, isn't it?
It is.
I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, they have a little side room, which is even smaller, like a little like bar room or something. I'm not sure if it's still operating. It was and then wasn't, and maybe it's open again. I'm not sure. But the main stage room is very intimate. But yet again, like, even I remember way back, God was coming through town, and I saw them when they were playing there, and it was so intimate that, I mean, people, I think, were, you know, moshing and falling forward. I think they fell forward on the mic stand and like hit Tom in the face, licking cigarette. I think he's a little pissed, but I mean, understandably so.
Yeah.
Smashed the face with the mic stand, but
yeah.
Those are the kind of gigs. It's so funny when you think, like, when you're first starting out, just wanting to get like the big shows and play the big stages, and then it gets to a point where those small, intimate shows turn out to be the most fun, because it just kind of takes you back to, you know, really why you got into it. Just, you know,
connection, yeah.
Having fun with all your friends, and when you're in that room, when you're in the pit with everyone, everyone's just your friend, right?
Yeah. So
it's a lot of fun. Like, I remember seeing Anti-Flag at a little dive bar in Owen.
Nice.
That holds like 100 people, and it was
that's awesome.
Hands down, the greatest show I've ever been to, because it was just like, yeah, like you're standing like face to face with them, and they're just like, they have these high walks stacks that are just like blaring. I had to take 2 days off work because I couldn't hear. I had no high end of my hearing.
Permanent hearing loss. Totally worth it.
Yeah, it's I saw Anti-Flag with fucking Green Day and Jimmy Eat World.
Oh, good lineup, man.
What a lineup.
That's great.
Yeah, at I think it was at when Barry Molson Park was still going. Yeah, that was it too. But it just sucks that Anti-Flag's shitty now. So,
what do you say?
It just sucks that Anti-Flag's kind of shitty right now too. They had a breakup, right?
Oh, you know what? I didn't I was actually behind the eight ball on that. I didn't know that they called it.
Oh yeah, they broke up. One of the members got accused of how do I say it? Not being so nice to women. How's that?
Oh shit, eh? That
That
happened.
is
Yeah.
okay.
Oh man, yeah. We've seen that a few times with bands. I always shit. Yeah. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, like they're
Yeah.
still good. Like I still listen to the tunes or whatever, but it's like it's kind of hard to listen to when they're preaching and the one guy's not preaching what he's doing, you know
Was
what I
it
mean?
one of the lead guys?
Yeah, I think it was like what's his face? Number two or number
Bass
one.
player, yeah, bass player
Yeah.
dude, or yes,
One of
the
yeah.
more aggressive,
I got
more aggressive vocal guy. Yeah, fuck, I
yeah.
should know the bass player.
Yeah, he was being I think it was like last year. Last year, yeah, last year he got accused, and then the band disbanded just because, like, I guess all the allegations were true. Yeah, that sucks.
That
But
I always liked the other guy better,
yeah,
to be
me
honest.
too.
But
I you know what? I like the drummer way better. How's that?
drummer was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
He was always very I noticed, like, at shows and stuff, and at the merch table, he was always very cordial. Like he was kind of like the people, a bit of a people's person, you know? Like,
Yeah.
he's always there talking with the fans and stuff,
Yeah.
coming over to the merch table after the shows and stuff. So I remember I had a convo with him way back.
I had a chat with him at a coffee shop before the show. I didn't realize who it was, but like Owen Salem, small little farm town. You see a
Yeah.
guy with frosted tips and combat boots sipping on a latte. You're like,
Frosted tips, totally.
you're not from here.
Yeah.
I had sort of the same thing too when last time I saw NOFX was I think was the in Toronto at the oh what's that oh fuck I forget the venue anyways it's one of the Sobeys beside it
Oh, I remember. Is that cool?
Cool
Was this
House
years ago? Cool House? Okay.
yeah or the Warehouse Cool House
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was in what do you call it? Sobeys buying a Caesar salad because I'm like I should probably eat before the show.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
And then I ran into Al Jefe.
Oh,
And
nice.
so I'm in line. My buddy Rob and I are in line, and I'm like, "Look who it is!" He's like, "What?" I'm like, "Fucking Al Jefe." And so then he was. I went to him like, "Hey, you're El Jefe." He's like, "Yeah, I fucking right I am." I'm like, "Have a great show tonight." And he had a ball of fucking Jack with him. Like it was good. It was
Nice.
a good rock and roll experience, if you will. So when you guys put out, been there, done that, was that just a little teaser for what's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we put that out. We got a video for it, which is fucking awesome. I mean, I am somewhat biased, but I think it's fantastic. And yeah, it's a little, I don't know, I guess it's a little delayed after all is said and done, but we kind of thought it was, we really wanted to get new music out before the end of the year last year, and we did. So we released that, been there, done that, I think in November. And then now, you know, it's going to be everything leading up to the release in full length. So, yeah, that video is going to drop. We're going to have, you know, another teaser video for another track. We're going to have another single drop, you know, leading up to the full length. And then I think the full length is going to be hitting. So, lots to look forward to, lots of, you know, momentum to see coming real soon. And then from there, you know, some shows paired up too. So we got the one on March 22nd in Hamilton. Then we've got one July 6th at Bovine in Toronto, Bovine Sex Club,
Yeah, man.
which always is funny when you say that. People get confused sometimes. It's not a sex club, everybody. It's a venue, just in case
Yeah, I
you
know
guys didn't know.
it's actually one of my favorite bars to go to be honest with you.
Love it. The
Yeah.
vibe, there's something about it. Talk about intimate too, like
Yeah.
small room, intimate. But it still feels huge, like, to me. Like, I don't know, there's something weird about it. Like, once that room has people in it and you're up on that stage, it feels big, but yet intimate, and the lighting's just right. You know, it's just all this. It's fantastic. We love it. We used to play there all the time. So we're really excited to play there again. Playing with a band called Wasting Time.
Oh yeah,
They're
they're fucking good. They just have a new single out too.
Yeah, so actually on that note, yeah, the new single how much I miss those days. I may as well like smash it out there because it's a great tune. It gets in my head all the time. It gets in my head all the time. It's catchy. And the video just came out for that song too. And I was actually, I had the pleasure of going down and being in the video as a pseudo extra, I guess. So yeah, you can watch that. You can see my little face, my little rock out. I'm a little boy in a mosh pit or whatever, just having a great time. We got to play some video games too. We got to play like some Street Fighter while they were playing and rocking out. So good vibes all around. Check that out.
Yeah, I know. I had Wasting Time on here. I think it was like a month ago, and I think I'm gonna have him back on, talk about the single and the video. In the next like week or two. But they're always a good time. Who else are you playing with? Is it
it's another actually for that show it's a band called Cascade Riot. They're actually from the States coming into town for that one. So that's gonna be fun. They're actually super rad too. Checked them out, listening to their tracks.
What are they called? Cascade Riot?
Cascade Riot, yeah.
Where are they from?
I was just thinking I should check exactly where in the States they like right start now. With a W, but I'm just sounding ignorant right now.
The States is pretty small, like it could be, you know,
it could be anywhere.
Detroit, Michigan, man. Oh, look at that.
There you go. There's some fact checker. Yeah, I know. I've always liked going to shows at the Bovine. It's always a good time. It's cheap beer, like PBR, I think it's like $4, right?
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. It's just fucking the PBR flows are like water.
Dude, I just had a little PBR the other day with some wings, and I was like, you know what? It's a budget beer, and it was a college beer, but I'm like, it ain't bad. Like, you know, it's
I still buy it.
I feel like it's just as good as Canadian. Like, it's not really like, is it really any worse or better? Like, it's a beer. Like,
it's no,
just
it's
drinkable. Simple beer.
Yeah, I know. It's I still buy it to this day. I'm 43 and I fucking love it. So
dude, great shotgunning beers too. It is our go-to for shotgunning. We do like an occasional shotgun. That was occasional. I mean, it hasn't been as often lately, you know, just because we haven't been as active. But I'll tell you, man, a good like 3 or 4 second shotgun, we're quite good at them.
Yeah. That's amazing.
You know what needs to make a comeback? They need to really start pumping out the No Name beer again. Remember when that first came out?
Yeah.
The No Name beer? That was, you know what? That was...
I think nobody was buying it.
I feel like there was like an influx of people buying it at the start just to be like, okay, how bad is this really? And then it's like, okay, yeah, that's about as bad as we hoped. And then that was it. The novelty was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So totally. Matt and I, in the studio, we used to do our beer tasting and rating nights where we'd go to like the beer store in the LCBO and just buy all the like obscurest stuff we could find and stuff we've never heard of. And you know, you try to get a lot done in you know, the time that you're in the studio, but for us it just kind of turned into drinking and trying to review, like pretty much vlogging our experience with the new beer. Then like nothing got done because we just, you know, got into full tester mode. And you know, you haven't fully experienced it until you're done the tall boy, right? So
it's hilarious. Like, yeah, we would always go in. We'd have like such high expectations for what needed to be done. We had like 3 songs to track vocals on. We had like all these editing notes. We had like some guitar parts, acoustic and electric. And I would come down to Owen Sound and you know, and we'd be like, okay, this is it. No messing around. We have to get through this because we have no time. We need to hurry up. We need to get some tracks out, whatever. But probably more of the reason. I blame some other reasons for the delay of the album, but maybe this is the real reason. But anyways, we go in, and I don't know where the time vortex goes in the studio, but I mean, we've got problems. Like, we talk a lot, so G.I. would start showing me some new gear or something that he got. And they're just like, oh, well, let me show you this. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. So the input of the impulse response actually comes out of the preamp instead of the power amp. No way. None of that made sense. But we're just talking nonsense about gear and sound and like engineering and mixing and guitars and rigs. And then, you know, we're like, look at our watch, we're like, we got track, get that, like, get me in the vocal booth. What the hell? You know,
so, yeah, yeah.
Anyways, ultimately it turned into that. And then there was always these, usually almost probably when we already realized that we kind of like the we'll just start in the morning fresh. Then yeah. We're like, okay, you know, we get some beers from the store and we make these videos. Yeah, vlog about the hops, you know, the hops taste so good. Oh, there's a little bit of a creamy taste aftertaste. And we make all these videos about all these unknown, weird, obscure beers. And I don't think we've ever, like, actually put, we maybe posted one.
Yeah,
We just have them all on my phone somewhere. It's like, we probably create a whole channel.
There's been a couple where, like, the initial first sip reactions were just...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We would be like, oh, God. And we just, like, our face was just, like, in pain. Because the can looked really cool, but the beer actually, like, or the cider was just awful.
Yeah.
That's when we realized that we need to have...
chaperones when we worked.
Yes, and also... What's the drawing brand? What's our, like, a grapefruit?
Oh, the Rattlers?
Rattlers. We needed Rattlers because then it was only like a low percentage of alcohol and we could keep drinking those as we were recording. And also GI's is super, super lightweight. So suddenly he's like delusional after like three sips of the tall boy and he's like not hitting record and like suddenly we're like losing all the mixes.
there's been one occasion where I had to look at when we had the whole band up there. I just had to look and be like, guys, we gotta take a break because I can't see my keyboard right now.
But anyways, it's not always like that. We'll bring it back for a minute. We actually spent a lot of time of good sober hard work on these songs, and they actually sound awesome, but there was some wasted productivity, we'll say, from time to time.
Well, you still have to have fun too, right? Like, you know.
Well, that's the thing too. It's like it's almost like daunting how much, you know, work we'd have to try to complete in that weekend span. Or sometimes there's only 2 days. It was like a day and like the one night smash. You know, get up a half a day and a. And then I'd have to book it back. GI would have something, or I'd have something on. So we're just trying to like kind of like chip away at like a full length album, right? And that can take some time to do. So finally, I mean, over the cumulative time of probably 5 years now, we've got a bunch of songs. But the cool thing about that is the songs are relatively diverse. Because, and I think some of that reason is because of that. It's over a span of time where there's different feelings and different moods and emotions and some different styling and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool that it's all going to be packaged as one release, and it's gonna have kind of like a eclectic feel to it, I think.
So are you guys going to do vinyl or?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we are. Yeah. Excited about that. I mean, so strange how music has moved and, you know, how like mediums have become entirely obsolete, like CDs and stuff like that.
Well, I don't know about that. Like, there's a lot of bands. Yeah. There's a lot of bands too. Like, I go to a lot of shows and like people are still selling CDs. And the weird thing about it, there's a company out of Barrie called Tarantula Tapes. They record punk bands and other bands, whatever, on cassette, and there's a lot of bands out there selling cassettes just because everyone wants a physical copy of it, right?
Yeah. Dude, I've seen this, the cassette thing, which is pretty awesome. Actually, it's definitely nostalgic for me, and I had my little cassette player, you know.
It's, and that's the thing too, man. It's like coming back. Like, they got like a whole fucking roster of bands that they put on cassettes because, in my own opinion too, like Spotify is good and stuff like that too, but
it's convenient,
but everyone wants a physical copy of the band, right? Like,
totally, man. You don't get album art, you know, like you don't get an insert, you don't get that tangible feel of product purchase. Like, there's nothing special about it. And yeah, no, you're right. And I mean, the one cool thing that the records came back is the size of the canvas for art is is big, which I think fucking is amazing. Rad.
It's totally cool, man. And that's the thing is, like, even like I think it was like 2 months ago, like their HMV is coming back in Toys R Us just because of the fact that
there's people want them. Wild, eh?
It's fucking super crazy. Cool. And that's, it's crazy how, and it goes along with the music industry and like even like punk rock or even the music industry in general, how like it always, it's like a circle, right? And you know, it comes back around again.
Yeah. And it seemed like in this regard, it wouldn't, because, you know, something is better, but think about it. How bizarre, there's a few bizarre concepts, right? It's bizarre that we only thought that we were going to better qualities, but yet MP3 has become the standard in a sense, right? But that's not lost. It's not lossless. It's compressed. Like, that's, you would think that we would have moved to something better, right? You know, maybe 3D sound, you know, 5.1 sound. Sometimes there's concerts, like live concerts, you watch on Blu-ray and stuff, you get it. You know, you know, just a higher fidelity, if you will. But instead, the standard became MP3. So then I think there is that want for that lossless. Sit down, enjoy the music instead of just a convenient tap it on in the car to drive kind of thing. It's like to sit down and consume music and want to consume music. And that's such a cool concept to really actually give it your attention, you know? And that's where the record comes in play, right? You take it out, you put it on a record player, you need to get up, you need to switch the side, you need to put the pen down. Like, that's cool, right? And it definitely will allow you to experience it in a much more you know, meaningful way, I think, right? It's pretty wild. So what you say about the CDs, yeah, I think there still is probably even that concept of a short run of CDs for the fans that do want it. I've actually considered that, or looking at the possibility of that too. Or a pairing of like a very simple disc with, you know, a digital pairing, you know, so you get both.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things, and I've really got to kind of sit down and look at exactly how we're going to approach the release. You know, I think we're probably going to be doing like a pretty substantial pre-order concept, you know, to kind of get a feel for what the appetite is, what kind of packages or setups or mediums that people want. And then from there, we can kind of look at projecting the order based on that, and then, you know, creating a buffer for sales after the fact too. So like that's my approach anyways. It's just practical too, and it's economical for us too, because there's nothing worse than I still have like hundreds of CDs from my old band in a box somewhere.
Oh yeah, I know. It's
and I can't, yeah. I can't bring myself to like toss them entirely, because there will be a use. And it's funny because it has, like you're saying, it has
to sell with the around. Show, man.
And I'm actually, even the funny thing is, I even played, you know, I jammed with those All for Nothing, my old band, late last year, and we're actually now we're kind of regularly getting practice and stuff. We'll probably get together, play a show or two, like nothing too serious. But now I'm like, oh, thank God I got those, because we'll probably play like, you know, a little, you know, concert in the summer and just hand them out. Like, yeah, like if you guys have nostalgia with this, like take a disc for free, like straight up, you know.
Yeah, and also too, with Spotify too, I was just reading this, I think it was like last month or whatever, is like, and same with Apple Music, I think. If like some of the songs don't get spun off the album, or certain albums don't get spun, they end up taking them off.
Dude, and yeah, there's something, certain digital distros, I've actually looked into this too. For example, on DistroKid, you actually have to kind of pay like a fee or something to ensure that it never gets removed.
Yeah, you're like right. No, yeah, you're good. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so we're with CD Baby, but I'm actually really questioning some of the just recently what they're taking, like as their cut. It's looking like pretty ridiculous. So I may be looking at actually even switching our distribution. But anyways, that aside, yeah, that's always the fear, right? Digital content. I'm an avid retro, well, I'm current, I guess, gamer. Like, I don't get that much time to play games, but as a kid, I grew up, loved my games, still do, really love retro games. But digital is convenient as hell, buying the games digital. And I am, but I'm, like, scared too, because all of those digital storefronts are closing.
Yeah.
And without, I don't know if I say piracy, but hacking, we'll say hacking.
Yeah.
You can't be assured that you will have those games preserved. So it's like, I hack my Nintendo Wii, hack my PS3 now because they're old and they're all exploited. But for the current gen, they'll just delist a game like overnight, not tell anybody. And
it's well, gone. That's the same thing too. It's like a game too. Like I have an Xbox Series One.
And yeah, then,
I fucking love it. And I have a Switch as well. Like I game all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we love our Switch.
Yeah. Fucking.
Mudhead and Putman.
And that's the thing too. There is like a big thing against like with Red Dead Redemption 2. They were going to take that off, and then there's a bunch of people sitting there signing signing a piece of paper. I can't speak right now.
Petition.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you. I'm saying keep it on because they're going to take it off. It's such a fucking good game, and it's like there's
Was there like controversy around it? Or
yeah, well, the Xbox and I think PlayStation were going to take it off because it's because of how old the game is, and it's not current, but it's with all the. Yeah, with all the extras and everything like that, like the game, you can go anywhere. Like,
there's probably legality. This is probably a bigger reason behind it. Even if they're saying it's like, there's probably some nonsense. But still, think about that. Tomorrow, let's say one of these bands, even Anti-Flag. Let's just say Anti-Flag, right?
Yeah.
Let's say because of all this stuff, they say actually it's been deemed that this is unacceptable.
They did it now. It's already been done now. They Fat Rack what? Records. If you go on Spotify or Apple Music, you can't find the Fat releases on there because they took them down. Fat Rack Records.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. See, that's I don't know if that's straight up precedent setting, but like to date, I haven't seen it quite happen that way. But that's BS. It's still art and time.
Yeah, it is like, still art and time. I totally understand why they did it. And
yeah, I do, but it's,
I'm 100% behind. I'm
at its worst.
I'm behind it. Like I like the allegations were fucked up. Like even if you go on your Spotify right now, I'm doing it right now.
But would it still be somebody's choice to listen to the content? Like, I mean, if the content had some sort of like hatred slurs at women or something, that would be a whole different story. But the content itself, you've got three other members participating in that process.
I understand that part too. I totally get that part. I'm with you on that one.
It's frustrating, anyways, to say the least.
Because like I'm on it right now. Da da da. And I'm just double checking for my own fact checking. Yeah, you don't you can't find the terror state on it and the other one they did with Fat.
Interesting. So think about this. Yeah. Guess what they can't take away? And this is just full circle.
Yeah, what's up?
Can't take away that CD that somebody's got in their cabinet.
No, well, that's the thing, too, is I was kind of pretty pissy about it because I really like the Terror State, like the music behind it and everything like that.
I like that album, too. It's good.
Yeah, it's their first release off Fat. Yeah, it's not here.
That's crazy. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, yet again, it's one of those points in time that that we're in, which yeah, you think, yeah, that physical concept, I have this, I own this, and in theory, even when you're buying like digital music, I know games, technically via the user agreement, you don't own it, which is crazy.
It's fucking nuts. It's like what do you call it? I'm a big wrestling fan too. And so then when I bought AEW Revolution, I think it's called, Xbox Series One. They're on the way of taking CM Punk out of the game because he doesn't wrestle for the promotion anymore.
Oh, wow. Oh, they're removing him.
Yeah. Over to, did you go to AEW? I'm trying to remember what that whole thing was.
Mm.
I was listening to a hockey podcast, but the one guy's a big wrestling fan. He was going off on a tangent about it.
Yeah.
They're blanking.
Yeah, it's a weird time in that respect that you can just modify something or change something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Push an update, you know, and then suddenly, yeah, the character's gone or something.
What are you guys playing on Switch right now?
Oh, dude, everything.
Yeah.
What am I? Actually, funny enough, I what's my main? I've got some serious and some not so serious. So actually, I was playing through a funny enough, a Lego Star Wars.
That's a great game.
Game, which is pretty great. Yeah. Honestly, it's got real good fan appeal. It's pretty sweet. The Skywalker saga or whatever. It's not bad. I'm having fun with it. I got like the newer Sonic game I'm playing. Like I play all the like Sonic, Mario games. I love that stuff. And then I like the serious ones too. Like I'll get a bunch of third parties, like some first person shooters and I'm trying to think. I wish I just had my Switch in front of me. I got just too much. Love the retro Ninja Turtles games with like all the old arcade games on and shit like that. I was rocking that the other day just for fun.
No, yeah. It's more. I've been rocking them. I've been trying to finish Mario Wonder. I'll probably do that today.
Wonder. Yeah. I ripped through that. I still got that one crazy level at the end that's just like super impossible. Once you get there, you see it. But yeah, it's pretty fun stuff. It's kind of weird. It's like almost got an identity crisis with Mario. It's almost like questionably outside of the Mario realm in times, but it's still really cool. I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I know. I think they're remaking Mario 3.
Dude, I heard that. That's the Switch. So cool.
Yeah.
That'd be so good.
Well, that's a really good fucking game. That, I would go, my favorite Marios, I would go Mario 3, Mario World, and probably Mario Wii U. I really like that one too.
Yeah, that was great. I like that they re-released that on the new Mario Bros. Yeah, like when they brought that back, they did a great job. And then obviously I'm super stoked in it. So where I'm at right now is I'm actually playing through all of the James Bond games on GameCube. And then into probably the PS3 realm, like in order. So obviously you got to start with GoldenEye on, on the N64. But then I'm going through like Agent Under Fire, Knife Fire. Then there's a bunch. Then there's the remake of GoldenEye, and then there's a bunch with Daniel Craig that was like actually in it as the lead and with his voice and everything. So anyways, that's kind of like my nostalgic realm that I'm going down. And then I ripped through Mario Wonder. I'm actually going back to Mario Galaxy on that collection, the little, like, how's that, it was a remastered collection for...
That's a really good game, too, actually.
Yeah, Mario Galaxy. So on the Switch, too, it looks awesome. It almost looks like current gen, because, they upscaled it to 1080. It came out with Mario Sunshine, Mario Galaxy, and Mario 64, all on that kind of, like, All-Stars collection.
Oh, no way.
I just realized it was sitting in my thing. It came out a few years ago, and I'm like, man, I haven't played this forever because I was, breezing through my Wii collection. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to play it on Wii. I'm going to play it on Switch because it got that like really better version, right? So I was going through that and I'm like, this game's good, man. This is good.
They got they also got GoldenEye on Xbox too, huh?
Yeah, Xbox, and I love that Nintendo and Microsoft are playing nice, like in that regard. They got like Banjo-Kazooie crossovers. They got GoldenEye's come over, so. And Cuphead, actually, GI, I think, was a Microsoft game.
Cuphead? Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, so it's cool that they're playing nice, yeah.
Yeah. The go-to Switch game, Cuphead and Mugman, and then the Nintendo emulators, like the Switch, and then the NES system. So, like, I just burned through Super Mario World on repeat. That's
just I know, it's too good.
Back to the happy times.
Yeah, what do you call it?
Funny because I got him a GI a deal on his Switch. I just like selfishly wanted him to have one so we could play together, and then we haven't even played together. But
we did Mario Aces one time.
I know, we should do more, man. We should do some Mario Party. Anyways, but we did Mario Party too that one time. Then I got. Mike, our drummer, had one, and then Kenny, I got him a deal on a Switch too, and then he was like, I fucking ate this thing, and he sold it, and we're like, because I wanted all the members of the band to have a Switch, so like if we were ever in the back of a band van, we could just all like local play each other. I'm like, that was my dream. That was my fucking dream.
That's amazing,
dude. I've wanted that forever. It's like, back in the day when I like had my Game Boy Color with a link cable playing Tetris with somebody. It's like, now we can all be wireless and all play together. Anyways, he sold it, that bastard. Luckily, he sold it to my drummer Mike so he could have one for his kid. But
well, there you go. Anyway.
It all worked out.
So yeah, also to even the new Zeldas that are coming out for Switch, like Breath of the Wild and
Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah.
Oh fuck, that game is unreal.
Dude, unreal, and I'm super stoked. Also, if they come out with the Switch, you know, 2 or whatever they want to call it, because like if those games get that upscale or that patch to come out and just like perform even better, that's gonna be amazing. I'm secretly almost waiting. I played Tears of the Kingdom a bunch, but I haven't played it as much as I haven't really ripped through it at all. And I'm secretly kind of waiting. I'm like, well, if I wait a little bit longer, I'm going to probably get to play it on better hardware, and I'm going to love it that much more. So that's my plan.
Yeah.
I tapped out at Wind Waker. That's as far as I got.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, it's been a good chat. I can chat about games all fucking afternoon.
Yeah, dude, I know. We digress from music, but I mean, hey, we talked about some music, and we talked about some cool things, too. I was going to say also August 10th, the last, you know, really cool show that we would get in, I would say, is Sauble Beach Sandfest. We're playing with the Commoners, which is kind of rad, too.
That's fucking cool, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're gonna have fun on the beach, just punk rock it up in the sun. Like, that's our dream, like SoCal punk vibes.
So when is that again, sorry, you just said it?
August 10th.
Fucking right, man. That's wicked. So yeah. right now we've been talking for 51 minutes and 32 seconds. This is the time of the podcast where you give me all the socials.
Yes. Okay. So we are blessed. We are at the Maysides for everything across the sun. We are themaysides.com. We are at the Maysides on Instagram. We are the Maysides on Facebook. We are Maysides, the Maysides, everything. So we have no band extension. We have no music and all the underscore dot this. We are just the Maysides. So check us out everywhere. Please follow us on Spotify because that helps us a lot. Like, pretty much, I always say the best thing if somebody thinks we're good is to, follow us on Spotify, YouTube, and Instagram or Facebook. And then that's like half of it. Then we can share our shows and share our content with you.
Wicked, guys. That's awesome. So, yeah, that was great. Stay in the line. And, cool. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Peace.